you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Colossians. We're going to look at Colossians 3 and just one verse, chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16. And as you're looking up that verse, so we've been talking about this concept of gospel fluency, right? We've been using the book Gospel Fluency. It's really the ability to speak the gospel truth, first of all, into our own lives, and then we're going to talk today about into the lives of those around us. So I was thinking about this for the last couple of Sundays that we've been talking about this, and I think this is really the best way for us to think about everything that we've talked about so far, right? So because in all of our lives, there are areas of unbelief, right? There are areas of unbelief. Regardless of whether you've been going to church for the last 20 years or whether you just started coming to church, all of us, there are areas of unbelief where we don't trust, first of all, in God's word, and we don't necessarily trust in his works. And when you think about it, that's really a big problem for us because unbelief ultimately separates us from God. And that necessarily wouldn't be a problem, except when you think about who God is our source of life and freedom. That apart from God, that we don't know life, apart from God, we don't have freedom. That God is the one who provides purpose and meaning for our lives, and God is ultimately our source of joy. And the Bible makes it very clear that when we are separated from God, that where we are headed towards is ultimately destruction apart from God. And so God is at work in maturing us. And so when you think about the maturing work of God, it's to really move us in the areas of unbelief to belief. And I'm not necessarily saying that all of the different, different areas in our lives is unbelief, but there are specific areas, right? Maybe it has to do with things that are going on right now in our families. We're thinking that I just can't trust in God's word and his works. Maybe the things that are going on with my parents. Or maybe it's a battle that we're fighting within our own hearts, lies that we've believed in for so long. I was telling a couple of our leaders, I think about 2 weeks ago, as I was just praying through the Gospels in my own life, I realized that there's really an area of unbelief in my life. And that area of unbelief is that God will work, but just he'll do okay things. You know what I mean? Like, he'll do okay things, but not necessarily great things. And so when he blesses me, it's blessings to the level of where I can do things okay, but not necessarily the full blessings of God that he pours out into my life. And I've been really battling that, realizing that God doesn't just want okay for me, but he wants his best for me. And so it's this process of maturing us, moving us from unbelief to belief. And how does God do that? Well, he does that through the gospel. He does that by speaking the gospel truth into the various areas of unbelief in our lives. And so now when we talk about speaking the gospel, we're not just talking about knowing some information about the gospel, right? Creation, fall, redemption, new creation. But we're actually talking about embracing and living in those gospel truths and realities. And so you think about, so how does that begin to happen? How do we actually embrace these gospel truths and realities in our lives? So first of all, it happens as we plant ourselves in the Word of God. It's just something that we cannot escape. Regardless of how you feel, we have to come back and learn to plant ourselves in the Word of God over and over again. And as we plant ourselves in God's Word, his Word produces in us obedience and faith. So it's not just enough for us to know, but as we receive the Word of God, we go out in faith and we obey, and it's all under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's really this Holy Spirit of God that is moving in our lives so that we are able to plant ourselves in God's Word, and that Word produces in us obedience and faith. And so we've been talking about how we want to grow in our gospel fluency, not just knowing about the gospel, but actually speaking the gospel into these areas of unbelief. And just to review everything that we've talked about so far, we said a very practical tool that we're going to use is the four questions, right? So when you identify an area of unbelief, we're going to go through these questions. So the first question is, who is God? Right? Whether it's marriage problems, whether it's health issues, whether it's things that are going on at work, whether it's relational issues, whether it's personal struggles, maybe a habitual sin that we fall into over and over again. First of all, we want to wrestle with the question of who is God? Is he good? Is he in control? Is he a God of mercy? Is he a God of grace? Is he a God who is holy and just? Is he a God who is righteous? Is he a God who will never abandon us? And not only who God is, but the second question then is, what has God done? Has he justified you? Has he redeemed you? Has he bought you with the blood of Jesus? Is he at work even in your lives now? And in light of what God has done, then who am I? Are you a child of God? Have you been saved through grace and mercy? Are you loved by God? Are you adopted into God's family? And because of who we are, then how should we live in light of who I am? These four simple questions that we want to wrestle with as God moves us from the areas of unbelief ultimately to belief. And so today, more specifically, what we want to talk about is the practicals of not only speaking the gospel into our own lives, but how we can speak the gospel truth into one another's lives, into each other's lives. And so for that, we go to Colossians 3. Let's read that one verse. Verse 16. And it says this, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." Is that right? No, that's 15. Sorry. I wanted to see if you guys were paying attention. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. For real this time, okay? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Let's read that once again. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And so it's this encouragement that Paul gives to the church in the city of Colossae. Let the word of God dwell in you. The word being the truth of God. And the word dwell simply means let it live in you. Let it reside in you. So it's not just a neighbor who comes to visit to borrow something and leaves. But let the word of God be a permanent part of your family. It's a permanent dwelling place. And the outworking then of the word of God living in us is what? First of all, it says it's going to flow out where you will now begin to build others around you, other believers. And then not only that, but it's going to flow out in your worship of who God is. And so when you think about it, our worship of God and our edification of one another, they really go hand in hand. And that's why the Bible tells us that if we cannot love our brothers and sisters in Christ, then ultimately we don't really love God. And when you think about it, this is really the testimony that we see in the early church all throughout the book of Acts. In Acts 2:42, it says, as they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, the word of God. And so as they were devoting themselves to the word of God, as they were letting the word of God dwell in them, then that translated, first of all, into fellowship, breaking bread and prayer, this incredible investment that they were able to make into each other's lives. And ultimately, that fueled their worship of God. And so really, the challenge is to make this the norm and not necessarily the exception, where we invest as we let the word of God dwell in us and as we let that word come out of us so that we're speaking God's word into each other's lives, we're teaching and we're admonishing, right? We want that to be the norm of how we operate as a church. But the reality is that if we're honest with ourselves, that's not necessarily the norm. And I was reading this article. It's written by Derek Hebert, and he was mentioning a couple of reasons why it's really hard for people to speak the gospel truth into each other's lives. And so as we go through this, see if any of them resonates with you. Okay. So number one, he says, it's really hard for us to speak the gospel truth into each other's lives. First of all, He talks about how we have limited and marginalized the gospel only to either evangelism or first-time discipleship context. So when you think about, speaking the gospel, you're thinking about, you know what? It's in the evangelism context. It's when someone doesn't know who Christ is, then yes, I speak the gospel, or that initial discipleship relationship. As you start to meet with that brother, that sister in Christ, you make sure, do they understand what the gospel is? Yes, they do, and then you move on. And so we've limited and marginalized the gospel in that sense. Number two, he says, we fear the confrontation of actually speaking the gospel to one another. Because Paul makes it very clear that when we speak the gospel, part of it, yes, it's encouragement, but sometimes that means it's admonishment, that we have to confront one another. That we have to point out, hopefully in love, specific areas of unbelief, and that's uncomfortable. And so we shy away from confrontation of speaking the gospel into one another. Number three, he says, it sounds too simple, too cliche, right? There has to be something that's deeper than just Jesus loves you and he saved you and he died for you. But the reality is that we never graduate from the gospel. And then number four, he says, ultimately, we do not know how to speak the gospel language into each other's lives, because he says this, that we do not yet believe the gospel in such a way that it penetrates every aspect of our lives. Right? So what he's saying is that gospel to us is just information. It's not transforming us. And so if it's information, then you're not necessarily going to share that information, versus if the gospel is actually the power of God that transforms us, then what's going to come out of you is that transformation. And he says, for sadly, many of us, we don't necessarily believe the gospel in such a way that it penetrates and permeates into every aspect of our lives. And so how do we go beyond just being comfortable? How do we go beyond the status quo? And how do we actually practically take steps towards speaking the gospel into each other's lives? And so we want to talk about four practical things. And then after that, we want to make some space for us to actually practice this with one another, okay? By the way, did you guys all get a handout, hopefully, from your life group leaders? So if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then you might want to check your phone, and hopefully they forwarded to you today. I didn't want to do another handout, and so if you hopefully have it in your phone, then it'll be a little bit more accessible. If you want to actually access that, because that's something that we're going to be going through together, okay? So how do we speak the gospel into each other's lives? How was the early church? What are their examples of speaking the gospel into each other's lives? Number one, I would say we have to keep in mind that it's not a mechanical process, but it really has to be a relational process. And I know this sounds simple enough, but many times when we think about what it means to speak the gospel, oftentimes we get tripped up in the terminology of, I just don't know what to say. But when you think about it, you know, speaking the gospel, it's not just memorizing four things that we're constantly saying to one another. But it's in the process of doing life on life, right? And as the gospel is changing and transforming our lives, it's what's being built up in us. That's the very thing that we want to speak into each other's lives. And so I really want to encourage us to not think about speaking the gospel into each other's lives in terms of what are the mechanics, what are the four things, or what is the methodology. I would say more than the methodology, it really has to be rooted in our relationship with one another. And so that's the first thing, not a mechanical process, but a relational process, okay? Number two, in that relationship, then what we are doing is we are constantly pointing one another to God. And this goes back to the first two questions. Who is God and what has God done? Who is God and what has God done? And what we are doing as we are challenging, encouraging, and asking one another those two questions is that we're constantly pointing one another up to God. And so when we help one another to focus on God, we are reminding one another that ultimately Jesus is better. That Jesus is better. In his book, Gospel Fluency, Pastor Vanderstelt, he writes about these specific questions that he is constantly encouraging his biblical community to ask and to wrestle with. And so there's four questions, but I've kind of lumped them into three, and then I've changed the order a little bit. Okay, so if you read the book, this is a little bit different. And so, who is God and what has God done? Three questions for us to consider and how we can remind one another that Jesus is better. So the first question is, which part of the gospel are we forgetting or failing to believe? So let's say you're meeting up with a brother or a sister in Christ, and they're talking about something that happened at work, and I don't know, maybe it's something that they were blamed for and had nothing to do with them, and obviously, you know, like that, they're angry, and they're thinking, how could this happen to me? And so in that situation, you're thinking, okay, I got to speak the gospel. How do I do that? Well, you do that, first of all, by asking them to wrestle with this question of which part of the gospel are we forgetting or failing to believe, right? In your anger, in that moment, as those words are being spoken over us, what part of the gospel are we, first of all, forgetting or failing to believe? And then number two, how does the gospel bring good news to this situation? Even in that situation, how does the gospel bring good news? And what about the gospel do we need to hear right now? What do we need to be reminded about the gospel right now in that situation, in that moment? And number three, how is Jesus better than what we have or what we want? How is Jesus better than the criticism that we received from maybe our boss? Or how is Jesus better than the hurt that we receive from that relational break? Or how is Jesus better than the disappointments that we receive? Or how is Jesus better than maybe that materialistic thing that we're going after and we're longing for and desiring? Which part of the gospel are we forgetting or failing to believe? How does the gospel bring good news to the situation? What about the gospel do we need to hear right now? And how is Jesus better than what we have or what we want? Okay. And I realize when we begin this process, initially it's just going to be really awkward, right? I mean, you just have to accept the fact that it's going to be awkward. So, example, if I'm catching up with Tim and we're having dinner together and he's telling me about the things that are going on in school, or I don't know, something happened, like he was mowing the lawn and a bee stung him and he's really mad, right? And so I'm thinking about, okay, how do I speak the gospel? And so I ask him, which part of the gospel are we forgetting or failing to believe? He's going to be like, what? I mean, it's going to be really awkward, right? But the thing is, we have to be able to step into that space and we have to grow. And so initially expect that as we ask one another these questions, that it might sound awkward, it might sound even mechanical. So you're thinking, well, Pastor Ben, you said it's not supposed to be about the mechanics, but it's about the relationship, and I know that. But we have to start somewhere. And so expect that initially it's going to sound a little bit mechanical, it might sound awkward, but as we engage in constantly asking one another these questions over and over again, it's just going to flow naturally. And so I just really want to encourage us. It doesn't have to be perfect, but we have to start somewhere in being able to speak God's truth and being able to point one another ultimately to God, okay? So it's a relational process. We're pointing in that relational process, pointing one another to God. And number three, we're constantly reminding one another about the gospel implications, which are the last two questions. Not only who is God? What has God done? But the gospel implications for us. Who are we in light of what God has done? And how should we live in light of who we are then? And so we're constantly asking one another these questions. So who is God in your situation? Who is God in that struggle? What has he done? What does God wanting to remind you of in terms of what he has done? And not only that, but now, even in the midst of your struggles, your doubt, whatever it is that you're going through, who are you? And because of who you are, how should you respond and how should you live in that situation in light of who you are? Right? We're asking these questions as we are connecting gospel truth to our lives and to our ministry. And so we are reinforcing with one another how the gospel is working to change us, but then ultimately we want to reinforce in one another how the gospel is at work in sending us on the mission to make disciples. Right? Derek Heber, he talks about, so when you think about reminding one another of the gospel implications, and I know that in the handout that we gave out last week, we talked about all these biblical truths. But he actually simplifies that into four specific areas to make it a little bit more manageable for us. So when we think about speaking the gospel into each other and pointing one another to the gospel implications in our lives, he says to think about four areas. First of all, he says, think about the area of adoption and realize that we are children fully loved and accepted by God and are adopted into his family, right? So think about in that struggle, in that moment of anger, confusion, sadness, hurt, whatever it is, how is the reality and the truth of that you've been adopted into God's family, how is that at work in changing your outlook and reminding you of who God is and who you are? So number one, he says adoption. Number two, he says to think about justification. So we have been rescued and pardoned from a holy God for our sins and are now declared righteous. That we've been pardoned by God from our sins and we're declared righteous. So how does justification, how is that truth at work in your life, even in the midst of your struggles? Adoption, justification. Number three, he says to think about salvation. That we are completely saved from sin and hell and are given eternal life with God. That regardless of what we go through, that there is always hope. And not only salvation, but ultimately regeneration, that we have been given a whole new life and identity by the Holy Spirit who dwells and works in us. That the Spirit of God is at work in our lives even now. And there's a new life, a new identity that's being formed in us. And so when we are pointing the gospel implications in each other's lives, what we are reminding one another is, hey, you've been adopted by God. You've been justified, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ did for you. That you have experienced God's salvation. And not only that, but ultimately, there is this work of regeneration in your heart and in your life. And so we're constantly reminding one another about the gospel implications. And we'll close with this last one. And the fourth challenge is that we speak the gospel proactively. We speak the gospel proactively. Now, I think when we think about speaking the gospel in our community context, for many of us, we're really good at speaking it reactively, right? We go to life group and someone looks really sad or down, and when we ask them what's going on and they're, I don't know, something happened, and then we try to speak the gospel truth into their lives. Which is a good thing, but in many ways, that's being reactive to their situation and their circumstance. But I think really the challenge is to actually be proactive. And this is what I mean by proactive. So we're constantly creating this culture. We're proactively speaking the gospel truth, which means that we're speaking God's blessings into our lives. And we're speaking God's identity of who we are into each other's lives. We're speaking to encourage one another. And so I was thinking about this. This is really hard. Even for me, in many ways, the way in which I speak the gospel into, whether it's my own life, whether it's lives of my family members, or even for us here, a lot of it is reactive. So you come to me with a problem, then I remind you of what the gospel is. But for many times, it's really hard for me to just say, hey, how's it going? Like, after church, right? Maybe I'm saying hi to EBA. Hey, how's it going, EBA? How's your week? Good. And then we go our separate ways, right? But I was thinking, like, man, how awesome would it be that even in that moment, that if we were proactively, constantly speaking the gospel truth and the gospel realities into our lives, even something as simple as, hey, EBA, I'm sorry, EBA, if I'm picking on you, right? How's it going? You know, God, man, God really loves you. He's your father who loves you like a daughter. Have an awesome week. I mean, initially, it's like, that's kind of weird. Like, why would he say that to me? But, I mean, how encouraging is that? To be reminded that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. And it feels awkward, right? And the reason why it feels awkward is because it's really not part of our culture. And I was thinking about that. It is going to feel really awkward. But I was thinking about, like, new people visiting our church. They're gonna be like, what are these? They're abnormal. Saying weird things to me before I leave Sunday celebration. Like, Jesus is after, like, what is that? But this is part of what it means to let the gospel flow out, because we're experiencing the Father's love, because we're experiencing the freedom. Because the reality is, whatever we are experiencing in our lives, whatever we are wrestling with, whatever we're thinking about, that's just going to be natural and coming out of our mouths as we communicate and encourage one another, right? And so what does that mean when we have a really hard time proactively speaking the gospel truth into each other's lives? And I'm not saying that the gospel isn't at work. But I think we really have to think about how fluent are we in being able to know not only the information of the gospel, but actually letting that gospel transform every aspect of who we are. So that the gospel becomes a language, something that we're constantly speaking. And that language eventually cultivates a new culture in our church. And so, first of all, relational process. Secondly, pointing one another to God. Thirdly, pointing one another to the gospel implications. And then lastly, proactively speaking the gospel into each other's lives. Okay? And so the one thing I want us to remember as we close out is simply this, that we build each other up as we speak the gospel truth into one another's areas of unbelief. That we build each other up as we speak the gospel truth into one another's areas of unbelief. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray together for a little bit. I just feel like if we talk, you know, I just feel like if we just kind of leave this place, after having talked about what we just talked about without actually being able to practice it, I feel like it would just be such a waste of an opportunity. And so I do want to give us some space to respond to the Word of God. And so, before we get to that point of actually being able to do this with one another, Paul reminds us, let the Word of God richly dwell in you. Okay? And so, I want us to think about maybe some things that you're kind of praying through, some things that you're wrestling with. Maybe once again, it's something that popped up this past week. And I want you to think about these four questions in light of, I don't know, things that God is doing or challenging you in, or maybe struggles that you've noticed in your own heart and in your own lives and so forth, right? So I want you to think about, what part of the gospel are you forgetting or failing to believe? And when you think about even how you lived this past week, things that you were hoping for, things that you were longing after, what part of the gospel have you forgotten, or what part of the gospel have you failed to believe in? And then after that, I want you to think about, well, how does the gospel then bring good news to my situation and my circumstance? And what is it about the gospel that you need to hear right now from the Holy Spirit of God? These gospel truths that we've talked about this past week. What is it about the gospel that you need to hear and be reminded again from God? And how is Jesus better than what you have or what you want? And what you want, those might be very legitimate things, but ultimately, how is Jesus better? Right? How is Jesus better than the acceptance of people or the approval of those over you? Or how is Jesus better than the things that you're aiming for at work, or the things that your heart is craving after? So I want to give us some space for us to work through these questions on our own first. So you can just do this quietly. If you have a journal, you want to write down your thoughts, that's fine. If you want to pray through it, that's fine too. But let's take this moment to learn to speak the gospel into, first of all, our own lives. And let the word dwell in you, and let that word point you to God. And so let's, I don't know, take the next couple minutes and let's pray through, and let's ask God to speak to us through these questions in His Word, okay? So let's do that together.